Matt Flynn direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Going back to the lines, Dick of Madison, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Dick?
This thing with Meadows coming out now and revealing that Trump had COVID during the debate with Biden, do you interpret that as maybe he's willing to now flip and start actually giving us something that we really need is when it comes to the January 6th situation? I mean, if he's willing to come right out and say that, I mean, here again, it proves this guy has, he could care less about anybody else in the world but him. To actually come knowing that he's sick with COVID and that whatever they put him on to get him through that debate, I mean, it's just one of the most egregious things that I could even imagine.
Yeah, you know, you make a good point. I mean, Trump could have infected a lot of people, including Joe Biden. And Trump does not care about who he infects. But your point, your question is a good one, Dick. And Meadows, Mark Meadows, here's my view. He was a congressman from North Carolina. And by all accounts, he was a Republican and he was conservative. But he wasn't a far right wing nut. And he was really more a creature of his culture. When Trump invited him to be chief of staff is a big deal. That's a big deal, chief of staff for the president. And so Trump invited him and he took it. And then when he got in there, he realized, oh my God, this guy's crazy. But he was loyal to a point. And then when he gets subpoenaed by the January 6th committee, he initially, through his lawyer, said, I can't get involved in this because Trump doesn't want me to. He says executive privilege. I don't know, blah, blah, blah. And then he saw that Steve Bannon got referred for criminal contempt. I think that Mark Meadows is risk adverse, very risk adverse. Bannon is a loose cannon. And I think what Bannon is going on is he can tie this up in the appellate courts for a year. And if the Republicans get in, they will yank the subpoena. Then he'll claim there's no contempt because there's no subpoena. A good lawyer will say, well, there was contempt at the time. It's a different Congress now, but we can still get you. It would go to a federal judge. And if it's certain kinds of federal judges, they'll let Bannon off the hook. And otherwise, it's a two-year sentence. Do you get the full 2 years? Do you get 6 months? And Bannon is a little more of a picaresque character. And I don't say that in a good way. Now, Mark Meadows is more, I think, more of a conservative, you know, restrained by the book type of guy. The idea of an orange jumpsuit, even for 6 or 12 months, doesn't appeal to him and his reputation. And I think that he talked to his lawyer and the lawyer goes, well, you know, you can go down the primrose path with him for a while and see what happens. I think that's what's happening. But yes, he might very well flip. He may not volunteer stuff, but he may give them enough to avoid contempt. And I think it's a very good sign. I think it's a very, very good sign. Jeffrey Clark's a different story. As I said earlier in the show, he's going to have to be held in contempt. Right today, they're going to vote to censure him. Now, I want to get back to the impact of redistricting. And this is one thing that you'll find hard to believe, but I hope that I'm right. I think I am. That what Brian Hagedorn is found a very skillful way to bring some order to redistricting that goes beyond gerrymandering, but still doesn't get into the weeds of political fighting, and that is communities of interest. I think the three Democratic justices should get behind it, and with him writing the opinion, they should appoint a special master. I think that they can consult somebody like Petering, with his algorithm, or somebody should get hold of his algorithm. And it's an unbelievable black box. You want to change these contours in Sheboygan, you hit a button and it redoes the whole state within 10 minutes, less actually. I hope that's what they do. But let's say for some reason, Voss stays as speaker for 10 more years. Okay, 10 more years, which is hard to believe, 10 more years. They just put in a bill. It just cleared committee. It just cleared committee. And this, it's called the bill on critical race theory. It advanced out of committee and it's going to be approved on a party line vote. I think that Evers will veto it, but I want to give you the background and how this kind of a bill could interfere with education in the state. Now, first of all, critical race theory is a theory put out about 40 years ago by some people at Harvard. I do not agree with it. What it says is that virtually every institution and aspect of American history should be analyzed through the prism of race, and that race really controlled everything. I mean, that's a simplistic way of putting it. That is, first of all, I don't believe true. Obviously, there was slavery. Obviously, the South had different interests from the industrial North. Great Britain had freed the slaves, and the South didn't want them freed. I understand all of that. But to say that every good thing that happened in American history has to be somehow seen through that prism, and that's really what was there, I think is just bad history. And the 1619 Project out of the New York Times, I think, is simplistic. And it's not taught in any high school or any grade school in the country or any college. In some grad classes, they talk about it. Now, the Republicans are flogging that thing. And here's the bill that came out of committee. They don't understand what critical race theory means. So it has a list of words, this bill, that will pass, and then Evers will veto it. One word that is banned in the classroom is critical self-reflection. The words critical self-reflection are banned in the classroom. Another one is marginalized communities. That's banned in the classroom. Well, come over to 53206 in Milwaukee, and if you think that isn't a marginalized community, you're blind. Racial prejudice is banned. Well, it's very, very hard to explain how people bought and sold human beings leading up to the Civil War without talking about racial prejudice. But those are banned words. Now, you may say, okay, these people in the Republican Party are just pandering to a base, and they are banning words like critical self-reflection, marginalized communities, and racial prejudice, and calling it critical race theory, which it is not. In Texas, they've banned the teaching of Martin Luther King speeches, just as speeches, in courses about the context of the Civil Rights Revolution in the 1960s. But so what? There'll be a lawsuit, and a court will overturn it. Well, here's the problem. The penalty, if any of those words are uttered in a classroom in Wisconsin by a teacher, even without the approval of the school board or the principal, results in 10% of the district's state funding withheld if one teacher mentions those phrases one time. Secondly, the districts have to post their entire curriculum online for review by Republicans in the legislature. Now, you can't tell me that in some Civil War history class, a middle school or high school teacher in Appleton or in Prairie du Chien or in Keewaskum or in Albany, and I'm talking Wisconsin, not New York, in talking about the Civil War isn't going to happen to use the word racial prejudice, or in talking about public policy now about marginalized communities getting aid or whatever. 10% gets withheld right away, automatically. Can take years to unwind that in court. These people are sick. They are very sick. And that's why I'm hoping that the redistricting, with Brian Hagedorn's leadership on it, emphasizing compactness of communities of interest, and let the politics fall where they may, will help to cure this and make sure that this sort of nutty stuff doesn't get through the legislature again. Does not get through it again. Because to withhold 10% automatically of their funding is simply wrong. Going to a break, line's still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.